Welcome back to episode 2 of Third and Long Podcast, Clint. Happy to be here. It's football week.
It's football week. It's finally come. We're in week 1. We did our preseason analysis live from the Tipton practice field last week. Our week 0 podcast, first time we'd done that. That was a good time.
I did. I feel like I could do that every week.
I love seeing them. I mean, if Coach Norbert turns his music down a little bit, we could be out there every week.
Yeah, and you know, he's the one that always tells me to turn it down. So
exactly. For
me, I think it was he was trying to get me back, maybe.
I tell you what, to do a week 0 podcast like we did, that was fantastic. We got some college football in last week. It was already a crazy week. There's already a top 10
Florida
team.
State going down.
There's already a top 10 team knocked off in college football, which I love.
Completely messed up.
You can't beat it. Yeah. So it just lets you know how crazy the season's already going to be.
We were talking about it earlier. So this year, it's a 12-team playoff, which I love. Yes. I've been waiting for this for a long time. Can you imagine in December when you're playing week 1, potentially for you Iowa State fans, doubt they'll be in it, but Iowa fans coming to Kinnick to play? I mean, that's wild.
Again, look at potential games at the Big House in Michigan in December, and Ohio State and Kinnick. And some of these Big Ten North teams could be potentially hosting an SEC team.
They said they're worried about them selling out because they're extra games. I'm like, those will have no problems.
Those will have no problems.
But hey, this is Tipton Tiger Podcast. Let's get off. We have plenty of time to talk college football. We will do that later with our picks. You know, not a lot has happened since last time we were on. We've got our game here against the Wisemusk team. But there was a tailgate at the park on Friday, and you and I both attended. I thought
great
it was
event.
Great event, great idea. Absolutely. I hope it's a new tradition. I see a lot of other programs kind of doing similar stuff, and I would love to see that and maybe make it, try to add some entertainment in there.
Bring some food trucks. Make it kind of a carnival atmosphere. I loved it. It was more than just an open practice for the football team.
Yep.
We got to meet everybody, which was kind of nice.
Cheerleaders.
The swimming team, volleyball, cross country, and football. The home side stands were full.
Yeah.
On a meet the teams night, which is again a ton of fun.
And it's gonna change. It's gonna get better. Hopefully, add some more things to it. The only critiques I had for it is maybe move the volleyball closer to like the 50-yard line, closer to the stands. They can tear down that pretty easily.
Right.
I think there was everyone was kind of moving towards it, but it was hard when I was in the stands to see the volleyball action.
It's
far away.
Again, it's so far out in the middle of the field.
Yeah.
And so if they were to center that, I think the reason they did it is I didn't think they were going to be able to take the nets down that quick.
Yep.
And they did. So it didn't interfere with football practice at all. So, yeah, I'd say next year, let's move that to
midfield. Could you do football and volleyball at the same time? Can you double it up?
I mean, we can make them
play around. It didn't look like the football team. It wasn't like a full live scrimmage where they were tackling, playing football.
Right.
They were kind of just doing more situational, put them at the 40 and go into the end zone. They could reset that. I don't think it would be a problem to do that.
It seemed like a lot of practice.
Yeah.
For football. And, I understand some of that stuff, too, with trying to avoid injuries before your first game.
Yep.
And everything else. I saw some highlights on Facebook from some friends of mine at bigger schools. They had full tackle scrimmages, but they can. They got 300 kids out for football.
I did see Wilton had a jamboree somewhere down south. They had 4 teams come in, and they basically did half 50-yard line on both sides, and then they kind of split it up.
That's good.
But again, you're not showing your plays. No one wants to get hurt. So, I mean, what are you getting out of those? It's a lot
exactly.
of work. You got to get refs. So I don't mind it. I think, sitting up in the stands, it wasn't the most exciting,
Right.
It was fun for me because I could watch players, do what they're doing. But I think for the casual fan, they want to see
it's essentially a 7-on-7 passing.
And disappointment was, I personally didn't see any punting.
There's no punting.
I
saw some extra points. I saw some field goals. I did not
see
a punt.
Ellerhoff, I think I had it at 45. He was trying some 45 yards. Yeah.
So I wasn't counting his yardage. Dang, that's pretty good.
He backed it up. So
that's
might have some that'd be
and something
a
we
weapon.
Were discussing earlier too on the cross country side.
Yeah.
They ran the their 3 mile, wasn't a true 5K, the 3 mile out on the road race. So the Tiger Prowl, which we'd normally done earlier in the year, was moved to this.
I loved it. I don't think there was a ton of people that were attending from outside. Like, it was a lower attendance.
Right.
But I thought it was great because it incorporated, obviously, the
cross country
team ran. They ran their first lap on the track, which was fun, and then they took off and ran throughout like a little square town route. That was unfortunate. I didn't know where they went, so I just kind of waited at the track.
Sure.
I would love to do the cross-country course. I don't know if you get more people to do that or not.
I think it'd just be fun because we'd all be able to see it. And I walked around. The course is painted already.
Sure.
So it's ready to go. I don't think they should worry about tearing it up before the meet
no.
in a couple weeks. So, but yeah, it would have been nice to see the cross-country kids closer in that we could watch them in the stands. And not lose them out in the town and the roads.
Yep.
But again, I thought the event was great. Concession stands were open. Stands were packed. We got to see all three teams kind of really.
They didn't run out of pork chops or butterfly pork chops, but they I know they were close.
They
ran out in terms of they had to make them faster. So the turnout was great.
Yeah.
Good for the boosters, and there is a booster fund going right now. It's another one that's a little bit odd. I think if you donate $101, to, I think it's like $249, you're in like a three paw.
You're in a three paw.
I think they just need to put it like a set price, like $50, $150. But anything helps. Boosters doing a lot of neat things for the school. A lot of under the radar stuff that people don't realize with jerseys and equipment.
Exactly.
That thrives.
We all get to see the big stuff coming up, like the banners on the side of the scoreboard in the gym that are going to show the numbers and the points, and then the championship signs outside of town. But they do so much more with equipment for the teams too.
Yep.
They do a good job. So if you're not a member yet and you're listening, we'd love to have you join the Tipton Athletic.
And I know they're looking for volunteers as well, so that's another thing that
always concession always stand volunteers.
Big thing. People don't want to do it, but
yes.
I know it certainly helps. So we've got week one. I just can't believe it. It's been 100 degree heat index all week. I actually golfed yesterday in the Chris Street outing.
Oh, you did play
and
that.
About awesome. Died. So
it was officially the hottest day of the year so far.
Yeah.
In East
so
Ohio.
Obviously we would not have had a football game. We've not had a cross country meet. About the only thing that could have happened is the swim team could have went because it would have been fine. But the team's been practicing late at night just to get these practices in. That's the whole state. They've got this new, what do they call it, a wet bulb weather thing that allows them to see, like, if it's a certain temperature with a certain humidity, they can't practice.
Really?
So,
okay, I didn't know that was a new thing.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
I just heard of it, yeah. So everyone in the state of Iowa has to abide by
it. It's all about safety.
Yep.
Yeah, I get it. No one went overheating.
So a lot of weird practice schedules. I think the same thing happened last year.
It did.
Our very
first podcast was outside in about 95 degree heat. And
we suffered through it.
And on game night against Loaiza Muscatine, at Loaiza Muscatine, it was still
hot. Yeah, that sun.
It was still really hot that Friday. Good news this week is by Friday. It's supposed to moderate a little bit. It's not going to be cold by any stretch, but there's not much humidity.
So hopefully we're hoping for a very similar game to last year. We took down Loaiza Muscatine 54-0. That game was over pretty quickly.
Yep. And we called off the dogs fairly quick at that.
We did. And I enjoy these first kind of games, just get your feet wet.
Yep.
I'm hopeful that the same situation will happen. Obviously, it's a new team. They probably have a new team. They're looking to get some revenge from last year.
I mean, we'll preview a little bit what we know about them.
It's not a lot.
There's not a lot.
No.
Because what we know is what we took from last year and who's coming back.
Yeah.
And so we'll take a look at that. Obviously, we talked a little about Tipton's team last week on the podcast, and we'll kind of – I don't know if there's been much change from that.
No.
And what we saw in the scrimmage, we wouldn't call it a scrimmage, the open practice that we had on Friday night, I think the difference makers that we talked about last week, those are the guys we're gonna be highlighting year long.
I did see there's a couple little variations. We heard about some wing tee. I think you're gonna see some running things with some misdirection, kind of get into some playmaker's hands. You're gonna see a little bit more of that. From what I saw in our scrimmage with the 7-on-7 stuff or shell drill, I saw a lot of like short kind of out patterns, little dump off patterns, just get the ball in playmaker's hands. I like that. last year we were kind of one of those. It was a 50-yard pass.
Right, we went over the top a bunch last year.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of that. So I'm excited to see us kind of get those completions, get those yards through the air versus all on the ground. So,
I think You know, I was talking with Aiden Boston, our quarterback, a little bit last week.
Did you get an interview again?
It wasn't a full interview. I didn't have the recorder going. But, I talked a little bit about that. And you look at some of his security blankets at receiver, and it's going to be Jacob Boedeker, and it's going to be Barton. And it's these fairly tall guys with big wingspans that can get – again, they're not going to be burners. They're going to run down the field like Griffin Anderman did last year and get a 50-yard pass to him. But – it's a lot of dump offs. It's going to be a much more George Kittle style feel, and see what they can do after the catch.
Yep. So I have no doubt this week we're going to be able to get what we want, in my opinion, just based off of what I saw last year, what I see coming back from the Wise Muscatine. It's not to take anything away from them. I haven't watched them at all this year, so I can't tell you.
Yeah, I was going
to
say,
I do want us to see us. What I'm looking for is us to control the line of scrimmage, both on the defensive line, offensive line. Okay. And let our playmakers get in space and let them do what they want to. Obviously, we want to stay injury-free.
Yeah,
Super important.
I'm really interested to see, again, Peyton Kroc, we talked with him last week, his ability to lead both sets of lines. Ellerhoff, again, those two guys anchoring that offensive line, they're going to be huge. And I think they're taking it personal, too, that maybe they're a little bit undersized.
Yep.
And maybe a little bit overlooked. And I think they're taking it personal that they're going to be the question mark. And I looked at Jacob Langley a little bit last week. He's going to be tough. He's one of the people I've heard has to maybe slow down and practice a little bit, or else he's going to injure some people. And those are always good people to have on your team because we don't want you to slow down against the Wise Muscatine or Vinton Schelsberg or any of that.
No, our goal would be maybe get some of those JV fresh soft kids some minutes in the fourth quarter in this game. That'd be really fun.
And that's what we were able to do last year,
yep,
which was great. I love seeing that. I was trying to find – I know Jacob Boedeker's listed at 6'1", and do we know what Barton's listed at?
He's probably 6'2", 6'3", maybe taller.
I would bet so. It's just when I look at Barton, the wingspan he has on the field.
Super long arm.
It's just a fun person to throw to.
Yep.
And you know that Aiden's going to get flushed from the pocket every once in a while. We all know he's a great pocket passer.
Yep.
And, is he going to be able to keep his eyes downfield when he's getting flushed from the pocket? And I think those guys are just going to be really nice safety valves for him all season long.
Yeah, and I want to see, obviously Aiden, he played two games last year. He's got some experience stuff that he's going to play catch up with. But the check down, the throwaway, sometimes those are not bad plays.
Live to see another day.
Yeah, and so that you learn that as a quarterback is, obviously I want every snap to matter and I want to make plays and score touchdowns. But sometimes if it's not there, let's just make the next down work and get off the field. So looking forward to it. I think the line of scrimmage will be, like I said, very important to watch this week to see, if we're having trouble up front. It's gonna tell a lot in terms of our season and what we're gonna have to improve upon.
It was the one thing the Wise Muscatine had last year was some size up front.
Yeah,
and they didn't do a ton with it, but they did have some size there. Really, from what I can tell, they returned their stud, that Finnegan or Finn Klein.
Finnegan Klein, he's a junior number 10. He's
going to be a senior, though, I believe.
Yeah, he's a senior this year. He threw for 300 yards, which that's a whole season worth. Which is about the same as what Aiden threw for two games.
He was their
three touchdowns, four picks.
Was their leading rusher with 342 yards, so he was a quarterback who tucked and runned a lot. He was their kick returner.
I mean, what's you look at their numbers, they scored seven touchdowns rushing and three passing. They scored a total of 10 touchdowns the whole season.
Yeah.
So offensively, they were limited, and I'm not seeing anyone that's coming back that you're like, wow, we got to watch out for that guy, unless there's a younger player. Obviously, these kids spend time in the weight room. There's transfers now. But as far as I can see, our defense should be able to control this game from the get-go.
Yeah,
and I expect
like we said last week, there's always those surprise players that come in. So there will be a surprise from the Wise Muscatine, a player or two that we didn't see coming, that can maybe play a little. But you're right. I think this is a team we should be able to handle. I see on the defensive side, they've got two linebackers coming back, both named Mason, that were both their leading tacklers last year. That's really all I see on the defensive side that they're returning. Unless, like, we have that surprise that comes through. Like I said, this is a team we should be able to handle. I don't want to go in overconfident. You always take the next game.
Yep.
And or mentality. And I just want to make sure that we play our game. And like you said, get to the point where we can play some of our younger players, get them some experience early in the season.
Get some confidence and move on. We're not going to look past them here at third and long, but I definitely think this is probably on paper our most favorable matchup for us, especially the beginning of the year.
Agreed.
We're healthy, relatively healthy, and I think just basically looking at Loaiza Muscatine, the one player that jumps out to me is Finnegan Klein.
Yep.
He's their kick returner. He's their quarterback.
He's
their punter.
Yes, he's their punter.
Also is their leading rusher. So I think you're going to see quite a bit of him on Friday night.
I'm interested to see for us our kind of dual tailback combo with Miles Christian and Ethan Hollum.
Yeah,
that's gonna be fun. I think we're gonna team each other fairly well on that, and I actually do believe we have an offense now that can be dual threat. Well, I think we can hurt people downfield, and I think we can hurt them through the middle.
Yeah, so I think we obviously just looking at our schedule, we have 1, 2, 3, 4 games at home. Yep. This year, obviously, this is supposed to be great weather coming off of this heat yep. wave. Love to have a huge crowd here. Hopefully we see a nice group down there that can cheer these guys on. And we haven't had a home game where we just put a herding on someone for
Labor
a long
Day
time.
Weekend football.
Yeah,
what better thing to
have
do?
At it?
I love that.
Yep. So we'll be down there. Is there any? I haven't heard anything in terms of tailgating stuff. Usually Red Pen puts something out, but we're pretty early here this week.
We are pretty early, and I have not heard from Austin on Red Pen yet. But
I'll put something out on.
You know they're throwing something together.
Yeah.
Red Pen always does.
Head down there, hit up Red Pen, and I think it'll be
Or if someone
night.
Wants to bring an RV and fly some Tip and Tiger flags,
we'll do
it there too.
Let's do it. So we'll see you on Friday. All right, so any other sports we want to talk about before we get into our picks?
Well, I mentioned last week that volleyball was opening their season tonight, which would be Tuesday night, the 27th, but that has been postponed to Thursday. Now, I don't know why.
Due to heat inside?
My guess is it was supposed to be at Lisbon. It's supposed to be kind of a multi-team tournament at Lisbon.
Gotcha.
My guess is that it had something to do with
schools getting out
gym
early.
Heat and schools getting out early at this point. So volleyball has not kicked off the season yet, but hopefully we'll get a game in or two before Friday night's Tipton Tiger game.
Yeah. And cross country, this was their kind of get ready for the season week. Mm-hmm. Once the season starts, you don't really have a chance to do hard practices. So they've been getting after it this week. Obviously, been going in the morning because of the heat.
Sure.
Their first meet is after Labor Day in Iowa City at the Iowa City Kickers Complex.
Do you know is junior high part of that as well?
Junior high is a part of that. So
I'll be there.
Yep. So they will start us off, and then it goes varsity girls, varsity boys.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to it. Again, these are two really good cross-country teams, so I'm pretty excited.
And we still don't have a preview yet on the schedule for swimming, but as soon as they do something, we will make sure to mention that as well. So,
perfect.
Yep. All right, Clint, so I got the exclusive hot-off-the-press football contest that we ran last year.
I don't know how
I never got the final tally on who won that.
Oh, you won.
Oh, good.
I think you did get the final tally. You just want me to say it again. I don't know how you get a Tuesday night paper. The rest of the world gets it on Wednesday.
You just got to know a couple people.
My goodness.
So should we have some sort of a bet? Maybe next week we come up with what this bet is.
That sounds good. We'll see how well I do this week.
Okay. We'll see what happens. So let's kick this thing off. We're just going to run through the list. First game is Comanche versus Wallert Catholic.
Ooh.
This one's pretty darn easy for me. I will go with Wallert Catholic, who I believe has 206 state titles amongst all their programs. It's unbelievable.
That is pretty good. And I have no idea what Comanche lost last year. I did see Wallert actually play once last year against my old football team. And so I'm going to go Wallert as well. They were actually fairly impressive.
All right. And then their next pick, Tipton versus Loaiza Muscatine. I'll let you pick first here.
Well, I'm going to have to go Tipton on this one. Like I said, this is a game we should handle pretty easily.
I think the for me, it's the over-under. Last year, I think I got a lot of heat. I think I put 28 points.
You did.
Was the over-under.
You did get heat.
I actually am going to go 48.
Ooh, 48.
Coach Nord is going to play nice and not run up the score a little bit, and we're going to be putting in some backups.
I think at last year's game, there were some players from the sideline chirping at you a little bit about your 28 pick.
Yeah, don't do that. I don't just concentrate on the game. But I think they'll hang for a little bit. I think we'll put some of the backups in and hopefully keep that score from running too quickly because we want to enjoy it. So,
yes, sir.
The next one, very interesting matchup. You have West Liberty against Regina. What's interesting about that, Coach Dumont was the head coach of Regina last year, opening up with his old team at West Liberty his new team. So, I think I've got to go Regina. Just makes sense to me.
I'd already written it down. We're the same. I'm going Regina as well.
Very good.
Again, I got to see them late last year. They were an impressive football team.
Yep. All right, I'll let you pick this one. Bellevue against Northeast.
Bellevue against Northeast. I feel like this game burnt me bad last year.
Was there a Bellevue that you picked every time?
They lost every time. Mm-hmm. Because of that, I'm going Northeast.
Yeah, I will stick with Northeast as well. We're going Gomer picks here. All right, next one, Monticello versus Mount Vernon. So Monticello, tell you what, our district might start off 0-4 based off what I'm seeing here outside of Northeast here, but there's some tough games for our district. Yeah. But they lost Preston Reed. They lost a lot. Mount Vernon, this one's easy. Mount Vernon all the way.
Yeah,
Coach Meester.
I was going to say the old Mount Vernon coach is now at Clear Creek Amana.
Yep, which
one? Same thing. I got to watch Mount Vernon with you last year.
Yep.
That was a really, really good football game and a really good football team, so I'm going Mount Vernon as well.
Yep. This is you, Maquoketa versus Anamosa.
Man, I didn't get to see either of these teams outside of what we played. I'm going to have to go Maquoketa.
Why'd you do that?
Aren't they the Cardinals?
Yeah.
Oh, so my old school before I was even there, Radcliffe, were the Cardinals. I just have a soft spot in my heart for the Cardinals.
I don't. This one's tough. Anamosa has that one player. I can't remember. What was his name? Allball or something like that?
Oh, I don't remember.
I'm gonna go with Anamosa.
Perfect. We need to
change it up.
We needed something different.
District team there. All right. Next one. Neither of us know anything about these teams. Central Lee against Van Buren County.
Wow.
I could care less about this thing. So
these are the ones
I'm not care less. I would go with Central Lee.
These are the ones that I wonder how they made the paper. Was our publisher?
Like, I don't know.
Go to school there. What'd you pick?
Central Lee.
You know what? I'll go opposite of you. I'll go VB County.
All right. Next one, Columbus versus Mediapolis. You get the first pick.
I'm going to go Mediapolis.
They lost that punter, went to Georgia.
I mean, the punter does make a difference in the game, but I just don't think it's that much.
I will also go with Mediapolis. Next game, Danville versus Linville Soli. Again, I just don't know enough about either one to really make a prediction, so I will just stick with Danville.
Oh, perfect. I'm going Linville Soli only because Danville's a great cross-country town. And it's
true.
Who knows how much they're going to steal from the football team.
True. All right, local one here, or somewhat local. We got North Cedar versus Highland. I'll let you pick this one out.
Man, I hate to do this because I love our North Cedar folks, but I'm going to go Highland on this one.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with North Cedar.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Next one is Lisbon versus Durant. That's actually going to be an interesting one. I'll go with Lisbon. I think they're going to control that, but Durant's kind of a younger. They got a bunch of numbers. I'll be curious to see what happens with that, but I definitely go Lisbon.
So I'm going Durant. This is my upset alert.
All right, upset alert. Okay. I know where you're going with this next one. Pekin versus Cardinal. who you got?
No.
No.
I just Okay, so I got a bone to pick with Pekin is my only issue. You know what? I'm going to go Cardinal because
well, you said Cardinal.
I know because I do have an issue with Pekin. I'm sorry.
All right, I'll go Pekin. You have bad Chinese some one time or what?
No, it was knocked us out of the playoffs my senior year.
Oh, okay.
Pekin Packwood.
Pekin Buffet was my favorite.
It's good stuff.
In Iowa City. Next game, West Burlington against Wapello.
Ooh. Man, I don't know anything about these teams.
Yeah, Wapello usually throws the ball a little bit. West Burlington, they're up and down. I'm going to go West Burlington.
Well, I'll go Wapello because it's perfect conditions Friday night with low winds. And
there you go.
Maybe they can air it out.
All right. Are you going to pick this next one? Iowa State versus North Dakota. That is not North Dakota State.
I was going to say, if it was, that'd be a harder pick, but ISU for sure.
All right. I will also go with ISU.
All right.
Next one, Northern Iowa versus Valparaiso. I didn't even know Valparaiso had a football team.
All right. Good point. I'm going to go UNI.
UNI as well.
Awesome.
How do we not have Iowa in here? Come on.
Oh, I was waiting for that one.
Yeah. My it's not there.
Goodness, come on.
Texas A&M versus Notre Dame. That was a great opener right there.
Ooh, that is a great opener. I got to go Notre Dame because it's early in the season and they have high hopes right now.
I will go Texas A&M because their NIL fund is extremely high.
It's on the
They bought some players, I know that.
You are right.
And then our last game, this is usually on, what, Sunday?
Yeah.
Florida against Miami.
Ooh.
What a great start.
Whoa, that is a good
like a rivalry game.
Start. I got to go Miami.
Give me Miami as well.
All right.
So there is our picks for the week. All right, Clint, let's close it out. We haven't learned too much because we just started the week.
I was going to say.
Did you learn anything?
So I talked a little bit about it before. Week zero.
Yep.
Week zero in college football was awesome. I mean, if that's any sort of highlight to what the season's going to be, then I'm all in. Watched a great football game with Georgia Tech and Florida State. And watch an upset alert already. I feel like there's just a different air in the college football right now with the 12-team playoff coming up. And I was excited before. After watching week zero, I'm even more excited.
Great. Yeah, I'm right with you. It's going to be a lot of football this week. I wish NFL would start, but that's next week. So
it's coming. It's coming. What did you learn?
What did I learn? So I learned we obviously have a new superintendent.
Yes.
Brandon Borseth. And then we have a new middle school principal. And I've heard from teachers and students that just kind of there's a culture change. We're starting to see some good momentum, basically, and I'm excited for that. There was one alarm that was kind of set off this week that is very alarming for the Tipton community, and it should be for everyone that has kids here for the future, as well as kind of future-proofing. Our elementary school went from 307 to 285. These are not official numbers. These are just rough estimates based off the kids that went there. We dropped a good 20 kids.
22 kids.
But the big alarm for me, as of today, which this can change into October when the official beds count come out, kindergarten kids. How many kids are in the kindergarten class this year at Tipton?
50, 52, 55?
37.
37.
Okay. And that's an alarm because we're typically in the 60s, sometimes 70s, sometimes 80s. So we're talking half. And we've talked about this for a little bit. It just cannot be a trend because we get paid off of how many students we have. And it's troublesome because you got to have enough at the high school level. But then when we have 37 kids, you're going to have to start accounting for that. So
absolutely.
It's alarming. We had 45 first graders. So you look at those two classes, and I'm very hopeful that those are just two anomalies, and we'll start to get that preschool rolling. But we've got to dive deep into that and figure it out. Hopefully, listening to this at this point, there just needs to be some ideas thrown around about what we can do to help with that, whether it's working with the city for housing, or it's trying to kind of do some recruitment stuff.
I say it'd be interesting to see what the open enrollment numbers are. I'm sure we can find those too.
Yep.
To see if we're losing kids elsewhere.
Take a peek at that. But that was something I did learn. But like I said, a great first week. We haven't had a full week, but I've heard some really good things so far.
Everyone's getting out early because of heat.
I have a middle school kid that's been going to school full days and a high schooler going half days, and there's not
same.
The middle schooler is not happy that with the half day situation. Same. So he would much rather have the no air conditioning for half the day. But yeah, we'll close it out and look forward to seeing all of you on Friday night.